This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon and welcome to Been There, Done That. My fingers are not working, Gordon.
Yeah. Aren't they? Oh,
no.
You've probably been playing the piano over the weekend or something.
Oh, one of those. The strills on the upper's boner. Yeah, something
or
that.
Or pulling your car apart or something stupid.
I thought we were doing a new concept in radio. It's based on really old movies. It's called Silent Radio.
Silent Radio.
Oh, yes, of course we did that because Mr. Tim finished his newscast rather early, which was gorgeous.
About a minute
but
early.
Still, it's about time that we started our show properly because we have to rebroadcast this later on in the week, so we have to have exactly the amount of time that is set down for the replay, for the encore version.
So you never heard this, we never did it, and let's just continue.
And listen to this, this is our theme. Well.
Or not.
Well, why isn't it playing, mister? No.
We could hum it.
That's a bit of a worry. Da, 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 da. Mr. Gordon, I think you better come and have a look at from your end of the world as well. Thank you.
We've got some buttons lit up.
Don't worry, listener.
Yes, talk amongst
yourselves.
It's
Chris and Gordon and Phil here on Joy 94.9. And
we're doing our show this week without the computer.
It is. It's a real trial and tribulation. Well, there we go. Did you have a nice Easter, Mr.
I've had a nice, quiet Easter, and may it continue for the rest of today.
I had a beautiful Good Friday because in our area, not much activity seemed to occur from all the residents.
Okay.
And I come from a family practice where Good Friday was always a quiet day. Nothing much was spoken about it at all. It was a just quiet contemplation, sleep in.
Were you one of many children?
Like I was one of two children.
Okay. Because so, I was one of five and Mum never had a quiet day.
No.
Joy.
Indeed, Lady Gaga. Born This Way.
Born This Way, yes, and we played that for a special reason too.
Oh.
It's going to be her birthday.
Well, whenabouts do you reckon that might be? 28th
the
of 28th, the 3rd?
Tomorrow. Yeah. No, today. Well,
get
it'll be tomorrow in America. Yeah.
Oh, that's right, yes. Thank you very much.
Nice catch.
Oh, excellent then. Yeah, sorry about the lumpy start, but there we go. Thanks very much to Tim for the news. Short as it was, brief, but to the point.
Yes.
Thanks very much to Rachel for the morning show. Lovely to have you on with us, Rachel.
Mm.
And Warren will be coming up after 1 o'clock.
That's right.
And we're having a quiet day here in the studio in the station.
We had a quiet weekend, actually.
Yes,
we?
It was gorgeously quiet. Mm. As I was saying before, you got Miss Lady Gaga going, cranked her up. I had a quiet weekend, a very quiet day.
Did you? Mm.
And even the whole weekend so far has been rather restful and quiet. And we don't get any more holidays for a while now.
Anzac Day.
Well,
that's the next day.
Yeah, but you'll be up at dawn.
No, I won't be. Don't believe in Anzac.
I'll be up at Tony Orlando.
Tony Orlando, yeah, and dawn.
Thank you indeed.
No. I had a lovely weekend. I spent it with friends that I have, my oldest friends here in Melbourne. I've known them longer than anybody else in Melbourne. I met two of them in 1962, and we've been meeting up every Easter Sunday for probably the last 45 years or so.
Wow.
Every Sunday, Easter Sunday, we get together, and all those that can.
Chew over the old times.
And, yeah, we had lovely meals, and then on Good Friday I had it with another dear friend of mine who I've known since she was 18 and now she's 65 or something.
What?
So, yes.
Oh, my goodness me.
So I keep my friends a long, long time.
Well, if you're the survivor of the mob, yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah. that I started this Sunday, Easter Sunday get-together when I had a house in Richmond, or in Prahran actually, and finished up one Easter Sunday with half the Fitzroy football team in the place. It was just hysterical.
Hello? I think there's a bit more to this story.
It was a straight
night. Did you hear the quiet little clue in there?
Yeah.
Gordon's been around so long, you started Easter Sunday.
Yes, yeah. I started the meeting.
I thought it was that other guy.
The gatherings on Easter Sunday.
Oh, okay.
You're on Joy. Been there, done that with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Ah, time for some of our important housekeeping. Oh, now look, that's very interesting, Mr. Gordon.
Yeah, that's not playing.
Yeah, well, let's...
We might need to play some music and relocate.
Joy.
You're with Chris Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9.
Yep, and it's having a bit of a thing here, but we're getting.
We have a machine that goes ping, and it's not going ping.
Okay, right.
Now, we do have a message from Nina. Thank you very much, Nina. Good afternoon, Phil, Chris and Gordon. I do hope you all had a lovely Easter break, which we did. Thank you, and same to you. I must admit I'm not looking forward to when you're no longer broadcasting live on air. So I'll be catching up on all the podcasts that you'll be making, and to once again, you're live on air. Yes, thank you very much indeed, Nina, and our other listeners. It will be a little bit of a change, but in fact, Gordon, Phil and Chris will be here on Mondays. We will be, as it were, pre-recording our podcasted program.
So, in effect, for those with long memories, they can send us an email when they're not hearing us, and we'll respond to it on, was it Friday night?
On the Friday night, yes.
Which is really complicated, but might work.
It might work indeed.
So this is, in fact, our final live performance.
It is program number 696, almost 700. I started the show way back in the year 2000 with a friend of mine here on the station who's no longer with us. He's gone to God. We wore him out. And Gordon came aboard, and we've had a few other guests as full-time presenters as well. But, yeah, 696, that's lots of shows. And we like to call this program our history program in its current form because there's been lots of gay people, current and departed. And
we talk about them.
We do talk about. We remind ourselves that they have played an important part in where we are in our gay history at the moment. And Gordon was telling about us long memories, or from friendships from long memories. And some of our gay friends have actually been on the screen, or they've been in our living rooms as recording artists, as musical icons, or on the screen.
You mean there are gay people in the showbiz?
Oh, yeah.
And I've just started reading a book about Dusty Springfield, and they were talking about how in the 60s nobody was able to come out and be out and proud.
Mm.
And in the recording industry, in the film industry.
And then there's Liberace.
And then there was Liberace.
Who was the camp of the row of tents and wouldn't come out.
No.
Well, there's a couple of people. A lot of people haven't come out, even though they're gay, and they don't come out because they feel it'll hurt their
reputation.
Their reputation.
And their saleability.
Their saleability, yeah.
We'll talk about those later on, I think, because at the moment the world is going through a bit of turmoil, not particularly gay-focused.
No,
but
not
it's
really.
Centred in Belgium, that small little country in Europe next to Holland.
Between Holland, Germany and France.
Yeah.
And that's one of the problems with Belgium, apparently. I heard this on the radio, on the television the other night. There are three sections in Belgium. There's the French-speaking, the German-speaking and the Dutch-speaking,
yeah.
And they don't speak to one another.
Oh.
And they have all different police forces which don't speak to one another.
Oh, no.
So they've got this continuous thing going on, you know.
Well,
even
it's,
though
it's
the
not
European,
continuous. That's yeah, the whole problem. They're
yeah,
separate.
They have the European Parliament there, but it still doesn't make any difference. And the immigrants from the Muslim countries are living in two suburbs.
Yeah.
And that's where the whole thing is, you know. But, yeah. It was quite interesting. It's on the ABC News or on the Drum or one of those programs.
No, and the integration seems to be less than ideal as well for
those. And then there's another section that only speak Flemish. the actual Belgian language is Flemish.
Yeah.
But there's a small group of people, that's a section of the community that speak that.
So. Imagine constantly having the flu and dealing with Flemish all day.
Oh, get away. Gordon. Chris, I mean, hello.
Imagine what their accent's like. No.
Of course, have you been to Brussels?
No, I've been France, Germany and Holland, but I've never been to Brussels. Yeah.
Well, Belgium is a beautiful little place. I've been to Brussels and also to Ghent.
What about Antwerp?
And also Antwerpen, yes.
That's the capital. Antwerp is the capital, isn't it? Yeah.
And all very interesting, slightly different places, that's for sure. But I found it a very nice, friendly little place. I actually walked in the gay march there year in Antwerp.
Belgium would only be about as big as Tasmania. Wouldn't it?
Oh, not even that, I don't
think.
Wouldn't
be that big?
I know
it's a little spot on the map, but they've had some interesting people that have come from Belgium.
Well, the current interesting person that comes from Belgium is the Canberra politician, Matthias Cormann.
Yes.
The finance minister, in the
current government, yeah.
He's a rep from WA.
Yeah, one of the senators from over there.
He talks funny.
He has that
I'll be back.
That European English accent, you know, where they have it always sounds so quite romantic the way they speak English, because they get that little bit of a twist in the way they say the words.
Eat so much chocolate.
Oh, now, they make good chocolate in Belgium.
It's a beautiful thing, yes.
But you know, you can get that up at Daylesford.
Just out of Daylesford, there's a chocolate factory out there, and they import their own raw Belgium chocolate in 10-kilogram slabs, which they then cut down. And it is the pure stuff, because apparently, according to them...
I hope customs aren't listening.
The chocolate that they import here and call it Belgian is the chocolate that they reject in Belgium.
Oh!
The stuff that they reject in Belgium and won't sell, they export around the world and still call it Belgian chocolate. Well, they can, because it's from there.
It's like John West.
Well, yeah. I was just thinking
the
that.
The chocolate John West reject comes here.
But, yes.
Beautiful. The pure stuff is just absolutely
super
melt
rich.
In your mouth. Mm.
Who else do we have that we know from Belgium?
Nicky song.
Oh, I know. Dominica,
yeah.
Now, that was the singing nun. I forget what her real name was, but she was she was born in 1933, but died on the 29th of March, 1985.
Yes.
And I think it probably in the 70s she had this little song. She was singing with a guitar not her dirty habits.
Yeah, but she did put out a lot of songs.
Yeah.
And they were quite lovely. She had a lovely little voice, you know. Yeah.
Did she go to number one, or was the number none?
Dominica did.
A number none.
Number none.
Oh, stop it, Phil.
Yeah, but she was very big, basically all around the world, as the singing nun. I remember that. I think a lot of people.
I remember the flying nun.
Do you?
Sally Field.
Yeah. The big hat.
Bad Habits.
You don't know
the flying nun?
Bad Habits. That was a song by...
Billy Field.
Oh!
The Fields.
Yes. Mm. All right.
And I wish we had that right now.
No, you certainly don't want to know about my bad habits.
Yeah, but then, of course, there was the actor that was reputedly born in Belgium as well.
Well, I think of Belgian heritage, I think we'll call it
something like that, yeah, because I think the surname is a Belgian name, isn't it?
Yeah. And we're talking about Dirk Bogarde. Talk about him a little later when we come around to all our birthdays a little bit later in the chat.
Was he in Death in Venice?
He certainly was.
That's a film I'd highly recommend to anybody in our community.
You want to see Victim. If you want to see a great movie, see Dirk Bogarde in Victim. Black and white. Stunning movie.
Right, well,
so let's see if it works.
No, well, let's see if it does work. We'll hopefully Tammy Wynette is standing by, because she's standing by her man. Let's see if the buttons work. Oh, it does. Thank you,
the orchestra's moving in.
Stand by. Joy 94.9.
With Chris Gordon and Phil, been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us on this, our show number 696.
Oh, dear.
Before we have a 4 week off, 4 month off air holiday, but we'll still be broadcasting our program to ourselves and putting it on podcast.
That's right.
And
I did hear you say that you would, if people want to know anything when they're listening on a Friday night or something rather, or listening to the podcast, they can still send an email to, I think they can send them to our program, can't they?
Yeah.
To be there, done that, stipulated, and it'll come through to us. And then if you want a question answered or something, we can do it for you.
Yeah, been there at joy.org.au.
Yeah.
And we'll see what we can do for you.
Yeah.
But it will be a little bit strange not talking to a live audience and getting your lovely feedback.
I'm going to miss Nina's.
Well, I'm going to miss 317's very good commentary as well.
Yeah.
And Peter often emails in or texts in.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's why we're not playing any of those little messages of connecting with us. But if, in fact, you did connect today to us, Julia's on the desks. So give us a ring, 1-300-JOY-949 or on air at joy.org.au. That'll come through today. And 0427-JOY-949.
For a text message, yes.
Yes, yeah. And it's lovely to have Julia doing it. She's the, the sound engineer. Let's call Julia the sound engineer because she'll be taking our programs and putting it on air.
There's been a few things that have been happening in the city lately, haven't there?
Oh, well.
Which is very interesting. And some I can't understand why they didn't do it before. But
well, one thing that I'm totally amazed at is a new Hong Kong restaurant across the road.
They finally opened it, haven't they?
They have, but there are queues around the block.
I was, when we left here yesterday morning at 9 o'clock, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, they were waiting at the door to get in.
Yes. Sure, it wasn't already open.
It's apparently one of the 4-star Hong Kong restaurants, apparently, yeah. And they've got lots of food places up in Hong Kong, so it must be a good one. But, but it's not...
That's the eatability of Melbourne.
That's right. There are lots of other things that are happening in Melbourne itself. Yeah.
Now, look, have you ever been frustrated with trying to renew your licence or your rego, stuff like this, and you can't do it online and you've got to rock up in person?
No, but I usually take my... Well, for registration car rego, I take mine to the bank and just get it done by the bank.
Yeah.
Bank?
But now they don't send out registration stickers, and you've got to watch to see when your registration is due.
Yeah.
Because you have to pay it without being notified that it's due. And this there was a bit in the paper a couple of weeks ago or a while ago about a woman that didn't realise that her car rego was out of date. And she hadn't realised that was when she had to pay the registration.
Mm. I still got a letter. You don't get a sticker anymore.
You don't get a sticker anymore.
But I got a letter to say you've got to renew.
Oh, did you? Oh, right, yeah. But you just go and renew it at the bank. You pay the thing at the bank, yeah.
Well, I just had my actual driving licence renewed, a new photo and all the rest of it. I went to the Vic Roads office down in Heatherton Way, in the door and out again within 8 minutes.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Queuing and photo taken, money paid and receipt given.
Well, that's good. But they're opening a new place in the city, aren't they?
Yeah, in 113 Exhibition Street.
Well, why haven't they done that before?
Well,
they weren't exhibitionists.
Oh, no, hello.
They wanted to be nice, low-key.
No, I think a lot of the outskirts, the suburban centres you can drive to, but you wouldn't want to drive to the city one. I think it's just for city lunchtimers.
But if you've got to pay something like that and you work in the city and you don't drive into the city all the time, it's very convenient to just sort of at lunchtime just go up there and do it. You know?
Well, they'll be pleased to know you said that.
And do you remember before the Western End Railway Station hub became Southern Cross.
No,
I still call it Spencer Street.
I can't call it Southern Cross. It just doesn't work.
there was a couple of little subways. One of them from Spencer Street under the road, and you came up inside Spencer Street Railway Station.
That's right, yeah.
Well, they never actually took that away.
Oh.
They just blocked it off in Spencer Street. So they're thinking of opening that up because the actual foot traffic at street level, they're doing a grade separation. yeah, people and trams. So,
but the traffic in Spencer Street is just huge.
Yeah, I know, but this is why it'll be good if they can open that little subway up again. Of course, in Europe...
I was about to mention that. You don't cross the roads in Europe. You go underground all the time. You just go down.
Escalators down, escalators up, little arcades underneath.
Right. That's right.
So that's the way it's going to go.
But
I hope those little subways don't ever get filled up with all the overflow from the high-rise buildings, because that is going to be the limit.
How high is the limit?
Well, in fact, it's not how high, it's how low, how below the road, limit of the sewage system.
Yeah, because probably the sewage pipes, when you've got all these high-rise apartments, say, down in Spencer Street, that area, the sewage pipes down there must be absolutely working overtime.
A brim with morning showers.
Chock-a-block.
Yeah. Oh.
But it's just a term.
They're going to they'll finish up having to do something about that in the near future as well. Because, you see, when a lot of the sewage system was put down pre-1900 when they first started.
When two stories was huge.
Well, the rich people had the mansions in Toorak and all around that place. But
they probably had their own plumbing.
But most of the little houses, like in Richmond, for instance, they had the nightman. All around Richmond are the laneways at the back of houses where they would pick up the night soil from the back of the dunny down the back.
These euphemisms.
We used to have, we didn't own it,
but
we
had
a holiday house in Aspendale. Mm-hmm. And in my youth, had the Iceman come to restock the ice in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Nightman to come and remove the stuff from the outhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a 1 shilling coin slot on the TV.
Oh.
How life has changed.
Well, but then the sewage system was gradually put in. But I don't think that the sewage system was ever meant to cover in certain areas the way that...
probably never expected there was going to be the gross migration of people into the city area itself.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, we've had the high-rise buildings, but they've been office buildings.
That's right.
And now they're residential buildings.
Now most of them are residential and they're huge. But I see they've stopped that big residential thing from being built in the end of Collins Street as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're going to have to be very careful what they do with it, you know.
There might be a limit to the actual number of buildings. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Oh, I think they'll do something before that. I think the developers will make sure that there's something gets done with to make sure that they can
some
keep
new infrastructure.
But of course, this depends upon the fact that we rely on water as being the conveyor of the other detritus.
That's right.
So, in fact, if you had dry toilets...
Could you imagine what the water pressure must be to get the water pressure up to the top of a 100-storey flat building or office building?
Well, they've got water up there for the sprinkler systems, hopefully.
Yeah.
On the 31st of March 2007, Sydney actually attempted and celebrated the first Earth Hour.
Yes, it was quite incredible what they did with that, because they decided that they would have, one man decided that he would try this out to turn all the power off for an hour.
A blackout.
Virtually a blackout, yeah. And it seemed to work quite well, because now it's sort of covered all around the world. But
it spread to 130 countries.
Yeah.
Like a really good disease.
Yeah.
But it's still just Earth Hour. Of course, I think we might have missed ours this year because it was, as I said, the 31st of March. And I haven't heard any celebrations coming up in Melbourne.
I haven't read anything in paper about it being on us, if it's going to be Earth Hour on the same day every year. I'm not sure.
It is, and we missed it a couple of weeks ago. But we were too busy wasting power.
But it's not the 31st of March yet. We've got 2 days to go.
Well,
3 days to go.
It was the 22nd.
Monday is the 31st of March.
Yeah, but what Phil is saying is it has already been celebrated in Sydney on another particular date.
Oh, did it? Oh, yeah. Right.
And we had our lights on for the White Night.
Oh, it was the same night as
so
the White
Night. So we've basically undone all the good they did.
There you go. That's lovely.
Lucky there's no rivalry between our two little towns.
There's no rivalry between Sydney and Melbourne. That's a whole lot of hogwash.
Mm. Well, Tegan and Sarah are going to say that they were a fool. I was a fool. Now, who are Tegan and Sarah?
They are lesbian twins from Canada.
Are they?
Well, that's something you don't see every day.
Yep. They're lesbian twins from Canada, and they've been singing around together for a long, long time, and very, very comfortably too. They're good. They've got a good sound.
Well,
they're from a little town called Leswija, just near Saskatchewan.
You just made that up.
No, Saskatchewan is real. That sounds like them now.
It is them.
Oh, what a nice little introduction.
You're on Joy.
Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Chris and Phil. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Lovely to have your comments.
And we just had a little phone call from Shane in Paran.
Oh, yes.
Who said that the Iceman who dropped off the ice in Aspendale, Mordialloc and Mentone was his father.
Well, there you go. You've got a
link with the past.
Separation with Shane of Paran then.
I'd like to complain about the quality of the ice. It only lasted a day.
Especially when it was 90 degrees in the sun or something.
Ooh, rather, yeah. It would have been some warm days down there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's where I was. I had my yesterday at Aspendale. What street were you in Aspendale?
Oh, we were on the beach.
You were on the beachfront. So we were on the backside over near the old, what was it? They were the wetlands.
Well, that's nice to see on your envelope, the backside of Aspendale.
The backside of the highway.
Did you meet the Nightman?
We met the Nightman, yeah. We used to see the Nightman when he was visiting our place in West Australia.
Mm. Well, no, I saw him once in daylight.
Oh.
Maybe he wasn't the Nightman.
Now, someone who we mentioned slightly before earlier, 28th of the 3rd, 1920, was the birthday of Dirk Bogarde. Yeah. Belgian parentage.
Yes.
He died in 8th of May 1999. Didn't quite make it to this century. That's right. Yeah. But one of his... he was an English actor, because he and his family were by the stage in England. But you can see by the name that it's not a particularly English name. Dirk Bogarde, with an E on the end. He was a very good-looking lad, and he wasn't a bad actor either. Phil, you mentioned before a film that you suggested should be required reading or viewing.
Or viewing is Death in...
Death
in Venice.
That's right.
With Dirk Bogarde.
I tell you what, his real name wouldn't have fitted on the marquee.
Go on, tell us.
Sir Derek Jules Gaspard Ulrich Niven van den Bogarde.
Oh, Bob Smith.
And they called him Dirk just in case.
Well, there's only so much ink in the world, isn't there?
Yeah, well, that's right, yeah.
But anyway, yes, Dirk was in this film as an elderly man, essentially being cruised by a very attractive young boy.
He was.
And the frustration on his face. There's acting and there's acting, and you could feel his pain without him having to say anything.
Because it took almost all the whole film before they actually came face to face. It was the vision of the youth that he never had.
Oh, that was the...
The life that he never had.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the solitude in this, being in this beautiful place at the end of his life at that stage, and having someone also beginning their life in this place
in that sense.
Probably not appreciating everything around.
The director took the young lad, whose name I won't attempt to pronounce because I can't remember it, but took him to some gay clubs and things before the film went into production. Mm. And he just learnt the subtle gestures and the, I guess, communication with the eyes, what we'd now probably call gaydar.
Gaydar. He learnt how to project at gaydar. Mm. Dirk Bogarde always took on very, very... What's name roles?
Esoteric.
Not that they were esoteric, but they were also very challenging roles because they were totally different to what he was. And, of course, when he played the solicitor in Victim, the barrister in Victim, there was a couple of lines in that show that when he came out with them, that people just went, my God, you know, how would you say that? You know, it was just...
You've got to realise that film was around the era when homosexuality was still illegal
in Britain, yeah.
And
yeah.
You are likely to be thrown in the clink.
Yeah, well, one of the previous episodes of The Midwives, Call the Midwife, they had one of the young husband went down into the toilet and he got trapped by an agent provocateur from the police force.
Whoa.
Yeah, and that's what they used to do. Of course, they used to do it here too, I might add. But we've had a message.
We have?
Happy Easter, gentlemen. I'm not religious, but love choral music. Hope your hot cross bun fix was satisfied this weekend. It certainly was, 317. I can tell you that right now. And I haven't even started on the chocolate yet. The fridge is still full of it.
Oh, yes. What do? Bite the heads off the rabbits?
Oh, ears first. Ears first.
Oh, ears first, yes, yes. Gobble, gobble.
Nibble my way through that, yeah.
Thanks indeed, 317. We're going to miss your comments on a regular basis. They're always...
And do you have to travel to Queensland for choral music?
Oh, no.
The Barrier Reef, they play choral music all the time.
I would imagine. But getting back to our previous subject, Gordon's got a message.
John from Elsterwick said that they were called ice chests, not refrigerators. Of course, refrigerators had motors in them.
I stand correct. Actually, I'm sitting, I'm correct.
You're sitting correct.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, we had an ice chest as well. We also had it. Before that, we had the Coolgardie safe. That was what we had. That was all we had.
That's what they used to call my ex-girlfriend.
What?
The ice chest.
The ice chest.
I have no idea where that's going. So
stop it. Right, come on. But all the time that Dirk Bogarde was on screen, he was playing very bisexually type.
He played a lot of gay characters, but he never ever came out as being gay. And he never married, but he lived with somebody for years. Yeah.
Just imagine what this was doing to his brain, screwing him up, surely.
Well, I guess perhaps you may be able to get into a situation...
It's self-protection, though, because if it's illegal and really frowned upon, it's a secret you have to carry.
But by then, Sir John Gielgud, who was out and proud...
Yeah, you know, a lifelong habit.
And he'd been knighted by the Queen, but they did knight Sir Derek. He is Sir Dirk Bogarde now, anyhow, he was.
But sort of around the same time, in UK, you had Sir Richard Rodney Bennett, the classical composer, Sir Alec Guinness, he... got his knighthood rather late in his career, but there was Sir John Gielgud and a few others, as you said, that were recognised by society despite
Noel Coward. They didn't worry about Noel Coward. They didn't worry about Ivan Novello. They didn't worry about these people. You know,
there was this horrible period when people had to be, as you said, entrapped.
It was the lower classes that were the ones that they were, sort of went for. Yeah. They never went for the upper crust people. 317 has just sent a message back to say, it's a pleasure. Don't ever stop thinking and being inquisitive of the world around us. No, we never do. It's even at this late stage, I'm still inquisitive about what happens.
I am. You see a cute guy and you wonder if he's gay. That's inquisitive.
You were doing that in the tram this morning, weren't you?
Only one out of three.
Only one out of three.
We've only got a couple of minutes to go on this last live
show. Where did that hour go?
Where, indeed. Well, we're trying to crank up the machine early on. But there you go. Doris Day had a birthday on the 3rd of April.
She's having a 3rd of April birthday.
Yes. She was always portrayed as being...
She's a gay icon. She was never gay. She was married a couple of times.
Everybody's big sister.
Her first husband took her to the cleaners and took her every bit of money she had. And she had to fight him through the courts and got it all back, which was
interesting. Yay, Doris.
And she's still living. She's in Carmel, up in Carmel in California.
That's cold.
Yeah, is it?
It's on the coast. It is very cold.
I know, but...
It's a lovely little town.
And she still has her pets. She's still... she's a... animal liberationist or what have you, and she's got about six dogs.
She was the girl next door.
Oh, yes, with Rock Hudson.
Who turns out was doing the boy next door.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Yep. Coming up after us this afternoon is Warren. Hello, Warren. Waving from the other
Warren
studio. He'll
right
be bringing you Melbourne's uplifting music mix. You'll be back on Wednesday, Gordon.
I'll be back on Wednesday morning, yes, with Too Late for Breakfast. Yes.
With a new innovation in radio, a working computer. A functional system.
Well, one part's working. It's just one little section that won't play all our little ideas.
Our fancy whiz-bing wing-dings and diz-bats and whatchamacallit.
Yes, well,
it'll be right.
Read the manual or turn it off and start it again.
Well, that's what they used to do when that television show.
You've just given away the trade secrets of tech support. When they're not looking, turn it off and on again.
That radio, that television show where they're down in the basement with the dark fellow with the big black curly hair that was on The Last Leg the other night, and the girl, they were the tech experts, and they'd ring up and the Irish guy'd say, turn the thing on.
Well, I had one customer once. I actually had to make her trace the power cord to the plug and plug it in. And then it started working. She thought I was a miracle worker.
Well, you are. But Philip, you've got to admit that.
Okay, well, my ego doesn't allow me to say it publicly.
Oh, all right. Okay.
On that note,
what are you going to do? Play some music?
No. I think we better do some messagings, and then we'll disappear into the ether, and we'll catch you on the podcast. Okay. Thanks for being with
us. Thank you for with us for this live broadcast.
Happy
ether.
Happy ether. Yeah.
Thank you, Phil.
Listen on Friday night after midnight.
Yes, indeed. We'll be here. Hope you are there.
Yep.
Bye for now.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.